Hello, true believers, and welcome to Dexcelsior, a podcast about the Marvel Champions living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. I'm your host, John, and I'm joined tonight by a crew that's banging their heads against the wall that is heroic mode. We've got Sam.
John, I'm a little trigger happy tonight.
Okay.
Choke.
Don't choke on your aspirations, Sam. There's Matt. How's it going, Matt?
Doing great. Heroic mode is annoying.
Yes,
that's one word, I guess.
Yeah,
it's the best thing that's happened since sliced bread.
It's something, all right. I don't know about sliced bread. Sliced bread's pretty good. There's Ben. What's up, Ben?
Hey, I'm doing all right, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we are doing a live episode too tonight, so we've got all of our listeners here. Listeners, if you're in the live episode channel and you want to just type in anytime, I'll read off any comments or things that I think look good, and just please comment along, and we'll get this show on the road. So we have a question before we get into our main stuff tonight. The question for tonight is, what is the hardest game that you have played? That can be board game, video game. I'll leave that up to you. So let's kick it off with Sam. Sam, what's the hardest game you've played?
Oh boy. So the hardest video game I've ever played has to be Ghosts and Goblins for the NES. This game is ridiculously hard. It's so hard. You get two hits and then you're dead. Everything hits you, like almost everything. And after you beat it, it sends you back to the beginning of the game, and it's and then it sends you through again, but it's harder. And it's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculously difficult. I still haven't even beat it the first time around. But as for the hardest hardest card game, it was a game of Lord of the Rings. The year was 2018. And I was playing Nightmare Escape from Dol Guldur solo.
Oh god.
For the one where it captures your hero.
And why?
I played it upwards of 50 times before I beat it. And I finally beat it, and I was like, I've done it. And then I stopped playing for like a month.
Fair.
Oh my gosh. Why would you do that solo?
Because it was, I needed to know I could do it. I needed to know. I know who my heroes were too. It was Galadriel, Hirgon, and what is his name? Grima. And the prisoner was Hirgon. And I found, no, I think it was Galadriel because she didn't do anything at first. Because she didn't give me the willpower unless I had Nenya. It was fantastic, and I wanted so very hard to scream afterwards.
Oh gosh,
I don't want to put myself through that kind of torture
on my life choices. I think one of the first few games my prisoner was killed. It was awful.
For those of you wondering why Ben just burst into laughter, Aldic just put, "All right, now try Escape from Dol Guldur with the Grey Wanderer deck." Those of you Lord of the Rings players will get that reference.
Yeah.
It was hard. And I think I don't know who designed that scenario. It was either, or the nightmare. It was either Matt or Caleb, I think. No, maybe not. It could have been one of the initial, Nate or Lucas, but I'm pretty sure they just did it as a joke too. Man, to just be like, this is impossible. And I got the idea to do it after watching C-Stan do it on his YouTube channel after him, where he would literally just look at the setup and then stop and start over. and that's where it kind of got to the point for me. I was like, I just kind of looked at it and I got three enemies each guarding one of the starting attachments, and I was like, nope. I was like, reset.
Yep, done.
And this was input with real cards too. It wasn't on Octagon, so I had to sit there shuffle 50 plus times.
You are a more perseverant man than me. My goodness.
I can't beat ghosts and goblins. I screamed in the middle of the night when I was playing that game in college. I was playing and I was on the final level of the first run through of it. And I don't know if anyone's played this game, reach out to me and let me know and tell me if you beat it. Because I got to that level and I was about to win and then I got killed and I was like, oh, and I screamed. And my roommate walked in as I screamed.
Oh my gosh, Ben, what's the hardest game you've ever played?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to calibrate because I'm terrible at video games. I played like 15 minutes of Dark Souls once at a friend's house. I didn't get out of the first area. It was pretty great. Also, recently I started playing a game called One Step from Eden. It's a sword deck building roguelite. It's like Mega Man Battle Network, but like a roguelite thing. So you have random cards that you cast. And the problem with that, there are like 50 things happening on the screen at once. I can't even watch videos of it without like and follow what's going on. So I'm just like, okay, I get through like two areas if I'm lucky and then die. I have like eight.
Hey, that so, you yeah, mentioned gross. There's like a billion things on the screen. I know this isn't a video game, but one of my exes, I was over at her house for New Year's. So she knew I played a lot of games like Lord of the Rings and Arkham and stuff. Like, she knew I was into that kind of games. And so she brings out a deck of cards and was like, I'm going to show you this game and I'm going to beat you at it. And I was like, I'm sure you will. I don't play these games. I play games where you actually have to think like hard about stuff like deck building and everything. I was like, this is probably going to be stupid and I'm not going to enjoy it. And there was like a group of six people. I don't even remember what the game was called, but everyone was moving so fast. And I kind of just looked down and I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to play it. I don't know what this is. Like, why did you invite me here to torture me?
Moving around. Like, they're trying to make piles of cards?
I think so. Yes.
Oh, I think that was Dutch Blitz.
That's the one.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I've never played it.
My mom gave me that for Christmas. Once I was like, nope, never gonna play it.
Mennonite classic.
I never touched it.
I was like, all right, now you have to learn Lord of the Rings with me. And she was like, nope.
Apparently, this is not a two-way street. Matt, what is your hardest game you've ever played?
I'm gonna go for a video game for this one. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, or specifically the first game remake.
Okay.
Really?
Because they kept most of the old stuff, but they kept the same square hitboxes for all the objects, but they made the main character have rounded. Oh, no, it's the opposite. They have rounded edges now instead of the flat edges. So moves that would have worked in the original game now make you fall off the edge.
What?
And it becomes a lot trickier to properly manage.
What? So they basically just broke the game?
No, like, it's still doable. It's just different. Playing a game that's slightly different is much harder than playing a whole new game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The hardest game I think I've ever played, as far as, like, tabletop games, I mean, probably an X-Wing, just because, I mean, you're playing against a real person. It's like Star Wars chess. So, I mean, it can get really hard depending on your like matchups and stuff like that. As far as like cooperative games, Lord of the Rings, definitely some of the quests there. Like, what's it called? What's the in the Carn Doom? Yep, Carn Doom. You knew exactly where I was going. Carn Doom is incredibly hard.
I only beat it twice.
Yeah,
because I haven't gone back. I was like, I'm done. Just like the other one, this game from Dolgo. I was like, beat it once, I'm done.
Yeah, it's really really hard, but probably like. It's probably between those two. Like, X-Wing is really hard because you're just up against another person and they're really smart. And then, of course, Carn Doom is really hard. Video game-wise, probably Demon's Souls. I haven't even tried Dark Souls. After I beat Demon's Souls, I was like, okay, I'm done with this series. And Demon's Souls apparently is a lot easier than Dark Souls. So I was like, you know what? I'm good. I don't ever want to do that again. I beat the first one.
Have any of you guys played the old NES games like Ninja Gaiden?
I've heard horror stories.
Oh my god, Ninja Gaiden. So, this is a really big tangent, but whatever. My dad let me take the, you know how they released the NES, but it was like where it wasn't like you put cartridges anymore. It just had a system where it had all the games on there or whatever, and you could play it. I think it was called, I have to look at what it was called. Basically, it was just NES games, but instead of having to get cartridges, it was just the system, and it kind of just remastered it. And on there was Ghosts and Goblins, Ninja Gaiden. There was a bunch on there. And after I stopped playing Ghosts and Goblins, I was like, oh, I'll play Ninja Gaiden. I was like, that sounds easy. No, it wasn't. I screamed. I punched my walls. I was sitting there trying to beat one level. This was only the second stage of the game. I was pretty terrible at it. After I was done, I had to go to the gym and run for a while with headphones blasting so I wouldn't scream. I was so mad. I couldn't like function for the rest of the day.
Oh, man. Well, Marvel Champions, what are we going to talk about tonight? We're going to do a Marvel Musing with Matt. We have a Patreon updates and thank yous. We've got Daily Bugle Newsroom. We've got our Gameplay Corner tonight, which is going to focus on Heroic Mode. And then, of course, our main topic tonight is going to be Heroic Mode. We've gotten some experience with it, and we're going to give our thoughts. We're going to give our tips and tricks, our strategies. I don't know if any of us has actually beaten it yet, but we're going to talk about all the nuances that come with Heroic Mode, at least what we've discovered so far. Carlos, unfortunately, couldn't be with us tonight, so we hope that everything's going well with you, Carlos, and we will see you next time. But for now, it's time for a Marvel Musings with Matt, the part of the show where Matt gives us some Marvel trivia. What do you got for us, Matt?
Well, this one is going to be based on, because it's the most recent thing spoiled, in the box coming out with Rise Red Skull, they have the Hawkeye ally, but it's not Clint Barton, it's Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Kate Bishop is a Hawkeye who became Hawkeye after Clint Barton died because Scarlet Witch killed him.
Really?
So, yes. Basically, due to bad writing, Scarlet Witch went crazy and destroyed the Avengers. I will go on another time into why that happened, but basically, at this moment, the Avengers are no more. So, Iron Lad, who is a younger version of Kang the Conqueror, comes from the future to try and save the world. Because he doesn't want to be Kang the Conqueror. Who wants to? I mean, have you seen his outfit? So he comes back, and there's no Avengers. So he gathers, he gets a Vision secret list of backup future Avengers, and makes his own Avengers. So he gets Hulkling, who is the son of the original Captain Marvel and a Skull Princess. Yeah, Apo. Kang is a Kirby creation. So yeah, Hulkling, who is a shape-shifting super strength guy, who is also the future King of Space. There is Wiccan, who is the he's the reincarnation of Scarlet Witch's son, and so has magic powers. Patriot, who is the grandson of the original super soldier Isaiah Bradley, aka the Black Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they're the original ones, and they quickly pick up Cassie Sandsmark. No, not Sandsmark, that's DC. Cassie Lang, Scott Lang's daughter, who becomes Stature.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also pick up Kate Bishop, who eventually takes the role of Hawkeye, because she didn't like other names like Hawkingbird. Because like, she was just a normal who, basically, they were up against some people taking hostages, and then she beat them up. She joins in with Cassie.
Nice.
And the Avengers aren't happy about that because they're kids.
Yeah. I started reading this comic line because you recommended it to me, and then I just got off because I kept reading into Immortal Hulk, and I'm reading through the...
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a masterpiece of a storyline. Oh, it's so good.
And and now Kate Bishop, she was basically became their leader and has been played a pretty big role since then. West Coast Avengers... hasn't been on the main cast yet, I don't believe. She's just kinda, and she had a big role in Matt Fraction's Hawkeye run back in 2012, I believe, where it featured both her and Clint Barton.
Were the Young Avengers the one who caused, in quotation marks, Civil War?
No, that was the... I know this one.
They were fighting in what, Massachusetts?
Yeah, they were fighting in that.
And then some guy blew up. It's like self-destruct.
Yes, the new warriors.
Okay.
Speed and Wiccan were there.
No, they were not. This was Civil War. Speedball. Yes, yeah, Speedball.
Yep. Okay. Their names are so similar. Speed and Speedball. It's like,
yeah, it wasn't Massachusetts. It was Stamford, Connecticut.
Cool.
Where they fight Nitro and he blows up a school.
God. Shows you how much I know.
Well, thank you for that Marvel musing, Matt.
Started in Sokovia.
Yes, and thank you, Alduk, for reminding me of the New Warriors, aka the Champions, aka Young Avengers, whatever. Basically, the most trash team of, like, they're supposed to be the next big thing, and they never were.
Oh,
well. They were. On Disney Plus, there was, I can't remember what it was called, but there was a movie, I guess, I saw, where it was Miss Marvel and Squirrel Girl and Patriot, some other character, and a bunch, and like, I guess some Inhumans or whatever, who were kind of like fighting Kree, I want to say.
Oh, I think Marvel.
I can look it up real quick. I have Disney Plus saved as a tab on my computer.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But I watched it. It was okay. I thought Squirrel Girl was kind of stupid in the show. Marvel Rising Secret Warriors.
Yes, Marvel Rising, that's it.
Nice.
I didn't like the voice actor for Squirrel Girl. I thought she was too eccentric. Overly eccentric.
Wow, that's hard to Emperor Squirrel, who's already an eccentric character. That's a feat right there.
I don't really like Squirrel that much in general.
Well, thanks for that Marvel musing, Matt, and thank you to all of our patrons. Go to patreon.com/dexcelsior to check out how to become a patron and look over our reward tiers. You can get a shout out, get access to polls and surveys, and even be a guest in a gameplay video. All proceeds go back into the podcast and the community. Your generosity is what makes you the true heroes of the podcast. And on this episode, we're going to give a shout out to Matthew R. and Nathan E. Thank you guys for your generous contributions. So let's go next to the Daily Bugle newsroom with Sam. Sam, what has happened in the news since our last recording?
Okay, there was I think a couple Team Covenant streams where they played Wrecking Crew. I know they did Heroic Mode on Claw, and then they did Heroic Mode on Green Goblin. They're very long streams.
Yeah.
Like 6-hour streams.
Yeah,
for some of them.
It's a long
one. Where they just kept, they played multiple games. But, I mean, they have nothing else to do at the moment. And then also in other news, I just discovered we got some pictures of Spider-Man, some scandalous pictures. I'm going to post that in the channel now. Oh, yeah. As you can see, some pictures of Spider-Man.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic.
We have officially gotten the pictures of Spider-Man.
We have it. J. Jonah Jameson, eat your heart out. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you can check out our live episode channel in Discord. Oh, my gosh.
I think that is the most important news.
That is.
And I think this should be forwarded to Caleb immediately.
Oh, my gosh.
The alt art Spidey.
There we go.
Ooh, yes.
He should use that art for the ally Spider-Man that we're getting.
Is that for the hero side, and then the other side you have the jerk Parker, and then the flavor text dig on this. get some dirt in your eye.
Oh my gosh.
I'll pay my rent when you fix this damn door.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh, let's go to the gameplay corner. All right. For Gameplay Corner today, who here has actually played Heroic Mode or tried Heroic Mode?
Oh,
A little.
I have.
I have as well, in the several different ways. Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
Why, Alden? I'll never unsee this. I can never unsee this.
That's fantastic.
Is that the Winter Soldier?
I think that's a
calendar.
Wow,
they couldn't even use that Winter Soldier art.
That looks like a calendar art to me. Oh my gosh.
Hulk, oh my god.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, okay. So heroic mode. I've played it.
I'm not done.
No, we're done with that.
Oh my god. Never done.
Oh my god. Guys, remember, we are recording episodes here.
I know. People will.
You may have to edit some
of this. We'll put link. Yeah, it's fine. We'll put. There we go. That's the perfect art.
Okay.
Yeah, that comes down.
All right. So anyway, heroic mode. I've tried it solo some. I haven't had success. I was trying Claw. I wasn't trying the challenge, like the heroic 3. I was just trying to do heroic 1 for starters. And I figured out very quickly that Thor's not a good fit for solo heroic. Even Justice Thor. Like, Justice Thor is good in solo normally, but he's so slow. And I did Captain America leadership, and that got me further. I actually got to Claw's second stage. I was feeling really good, and then I just got trounced. But I made it all the way to stage 2 of Claw, and I was feeling really good about it before I got smashed. So my next attempt at it is going to be, I think, a Justice Captain America, because Cap just has so much thwarting potential in Justice. I was doing Expert Ultron and just absolutely crushed it with this Justice Cap deck. It was like no contest. Ultron didn't have a prayer. So I'm going to Expert Ultron didn't have a prayer. So I'm going to try it against Claw deck? Heroic 1. Do what?
What deck are you using?
Deck, I'll have to look it up. I'll post it in the channel. But while I'm doing that, anybody else, go ahead about your experiences with Heroic.
So I've played every villain so far in Heroic. I've beaten Rhino multiple times, beaten Claw multiple times. Ultron I took down with Black Panther leadership and Cap leadership. Risky Business. We'll get back to that one. That wasn't a solo game. We'll get back
to that game. We'll turn around to that one.
The one I haven't won yet. I've only tried it once. I was using Captain Marvel Justice, and she just doesn't have the minion control, so I'm probably going to switch to Cap Justice. We played a 4-player game of Risky Business with Carlos. Carlos was there instead of Ben, and we'll get into a point later when we talk about strategy about. We weren't communicating with each other. I mean, most games we play, we can usually just, like, this is what we're doing on our turn, and that be it. We weren't even doing that for the most part. We kind of just played. I was playing Black Widow Protection, and we were playing Risky Business, and Norman flipped once, maybe, to Green Goblin that whole game. And so all my preparations were going unused. I couldn't use the most of them, and there was minions, but the times that I used them on the minions, I would be put down to like one or so health. I have to flip back, and then there's some board of minions on in front of me that I can't deal with because she can't do anything actively.
Yeah.
At least in protection. It was a rough game, and we'll explain what we did wrong later.
Yep. Matt, any besides that infamous game, have you gotten any heroic mode in?
Yeah, when it first started, I tried the challenge instituted with Claw Heroic 3.
Yeah.
That did not go well. We couldn't even lay scratch on Claw.
Yeah, we lost like 3 rounds, maybe, if that.
No, I think it was we lost in round 2. Well, yeah. We effectively lost just because it got way out of control right away. I took 3 assaults and or... the other attack one, just three or four attacks in a single round.
It's so brutal. The extra attacks are so brutal.
I got really close in solo with the Cap Justice deck. because there was basically just a point where I was like, all right, the both Doomsday chairs are in play. I'm just going to leave them in play. I don't need MODOK to show up randomly throughout the game. I was like, let me just kill MODOK, and if he shows up again, he shows up again. Whatever. That's fine. And I got him to stage three. The issue that got when I got him there was I was at such a low health, I had to flip. And when I flipped, he skied me out in one go.
Yeah.
And granted, and he only drew a one boost. And he did. At that point, I knew. I was like, I don't have any allies to defend. I don't have a shield block. I was, they were both in my discard pile. I was like, there's nothing I can do. I was like, either he gets a zero boost or I lose. And then I just lost. I honestly probably wouldn't have won that game anyway, but it was the closest I've came to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's hard. Ben, have you, I guess you and Matt obviously were playing together.
Yeah, we played it when they first announced it. I played a couple solo games with it, then just like, screw this. Like, solos aren't enough. I don't know. I guess if I really sat down and tried to optimize the deck, I'm going to try doing that again, because try heroic one against like Claw. That sounds like fun, but I mean, it's rough. If you get extra attacks, like, if you can get like two or three extra attacks against you in a round, and that's just almost impossible to deal with.
Yeah,
with most heroes, you just die.
A lot, well, unless you have good minion control, you're not getting anywhere. Which we'll get that into hero choices later. But when I tried Carol against Heroic One, I was getting so many minions, I just couldn't do anything about it. Yeah. She's a very good hero. But she's not a very target a bunch hero. She's a very like pick target, like defeat it. Whether that's a scheme or an enemy. When you have multiples of those little minions or the ones with tough minions are so hard in heroic. I don't know what it is, but they get so much harder in heroic. And they always show up. I swear I drew every single one of them.
Matt, what were you gonna say?
While we're doing our big four-player game there in Risky Business, it's like I was playing Justice Miss Marvel, and it's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to wipe out two side schemes to take a threat down, and then next turn, it's all back right where it was. I ran out all the stops, and I just got to do it again and again and again, and it just keeps coming.
Yep.
Well, for those of us that were wanting a harder game, Heroic has definitely brought that. I think it's safe to say that this mode is very, very challenging. So do we want to go ahead and just jump right in? Main topic, Heroic mode?
I have a quick question. Have any of you guys tried the... So if you remember the article, they had a thing in there that basically said, this was our original idea for Heroic mode. Let me see if I can find it. I'm looking at it now. The first idea we discussed was adding greater penalties to when a player and encounter deck's emptied. As it is, when a player deck empties, the player receives a face-down encounter card, and when an encounter deck empties, an acceleration token is placed. We talked about upping the ante on both of those. When a player deck is empty, they would get a face-down card and place an acceleration, and then the same for when the scheme, each player gets a card and an acceleration. Have you tried that yet?
I have. What did you think?
I have tried it. It was easier than the current iteration. Because
I could see that.
And what they outline in the article is that it doesn't help the deck catch up, because one extra card every so often isn't as difficult as an extra card every turn. And yeah, that acceleration token happens, but by the time you get to one of those, you're usually set up enough where it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
So I found that an easier way to play it. But that's definitely still a challenge. So if you think Heroic's too hard, that's always an option. They give it to you, it's just not official. Officially official.
I mean, that's one of the great things about this game. We've said before, is just the customizability of it. You can do so many, you can play how you want, and it's your game to play. You know? Well, looking at our little scenario, our outline here for Heroic mode, our first bullet point is difficulty. This mode, and we've already hit on it, and we really covered this, but difficulty, and it's a huge spike up. You don't think It doesn't sound like a lot, just adding an extra card every turn, but it really adds up. And it can lead to turns where you think you've gotten so far ahead, and then the villain catches right back up and you're back to where you were in the last round. You know, whereas in normal mode, you can really kind of get ahead of the villain and just stay ahead. It's hard to do that in heroic mode. It's very difficult.
Put this into context, like, if you get, like, a hazard icon on a scheme, it's like, you want to get rid of that because that extra scheme matters, but this is a permanent plus one per player hazard icon, and it's just hitting you.
Yeah, it's bad.
It ups the combo potential of the encounter deck. I don't know the exact percentage, but I mean, it almost essentially doubles the combo potential in a turn. Oh, yeah. And now, it's on those turns where you deck and you have to reset and you get an extra card. Now that's three cards. If you're on that in heroic one, which granted, there's multiple levels of heroic. If you're on one, now it's revealing three cards. Or if you're playing with Legions of Hydra, you already upped the amount of cards you're getting. So you're seeing the entire counter deck almost every game, unless you die turn one, because that's an option.
That actually is a very real option.
The most I've been defeated by damage is during heroic mode.
Yeah. And then heroic three, like, I can't even comprehend that at this point. After playing just heroic one, it's just like three. You mean to tell me I'm going to get four cards every time? No.
Yeah, it's like, okay, let's do Green Goblin 3 over and over and over every turn. Like, there you, it's like, okay, we can recover, we're stabilized, we're good. Nope, hit you again.
Yeah. It's brutal. And like,
even on with Heroic 1, that so much, especially in 4-player, already sometimes in 4-player, in a 4-player game, the board can get full in just one encounter phase. Now add an extra card to everyone for that, and every turn. Now imagine how hard it is going to be to stay. You gotta honestly, I think, less focus on stabilizing and more focus on, instead of just like, all right, I'm gonna clear the board this turn. No, because if you clear the board, it's just gonna all come back next turn, and you're never gonna get to the villain. You have to balance the two. You have to be able to deal damage and then and deal with stuff on the board, which is why in the Heroic 3 challenge with Claw, I got stun locked because he had the Sonic Inverter and I just couldn't get rid of it because all my cards were being dedicated to get rid of other things. And at that point, I could just barely do anything.
Yep.
Speaking of what you said earlier about dying to damage, in my experience, you either are dying to damage or you basically realize I've got a flip and he's going to scheme out. And that's basically how it goes. You just get way so much damage on you.
Mm-hmm. And that's especially tricky in solo because you're the only one that you can rely on in solo.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
You can't have somebody to have your back.
Multiple attacks in one turn in solo, like multiple additional attacks, are just so much worse than a multiplayer.
I found those utility allies so much better. Like Nick Fury, Mockingbird, any of the 2-cost leadership allies. There's so much, but the cheaper ones. I mean, Nick Fury is the exception because Nick Fury is Nick Fury. He's always good. Are so much better in this form. But when you get to someone like Daredevil, you're spending almost your entire turn playing one ally who will only remove 2 threat and deal 1 damage that turn. That's too slow. You have to be aggressive in this format. Maybe in Wrecking Crew, you don't have to be as aggressive because you're not losing to threat because they're not scheming on the main scheme. So maybe you can lighten up on that, but in majority of the scenarios where threat is a real problem, you have to be aggressive. And that doesn't mean play aggression, because usually that's not going to go in your favor unless you're playing a multiple player game.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to reiterate that point. Like, this is different than normal. You have to play fast. You have to play those cards that just get on the table, get their job done, and get out, and then you keep going. Because you're going to get slowed down otherwise, and you cannot play slow or you're just going to fall behind and you will stay behind. And there's no coming back.
Cards I normally would consider, and heroes I normally consider, are fantastic. Like Carol Danvers, Spider-Man, even Miss Marvel, even though I don't prefer her playstyle, I know she's a good hero. I kind of just throw them out the window when considering heroic mode because they are too slow. I think the tempo of those heroes is too slow for the accelerated pace you want to be playing at. You, someone like Cap, someone like
Black Panther.
Even though Black Panther has his upgrades, it also depends on the aspect, but they're fast. They get the ground. They can do what they have to do. Even Iron Man is a solid choice. Now, he's a lot harder in solo. It's going to be harder than it normally is, but once you build up, he kind of can just do everything.
Yes, which is what you need, and he can do it every turn consistently.
It's a matter of consistency and speed in this kind of format.
Yeah, I think that's a problem with the deck pool, right? The card pool right now, because there's not a lot, and I think because like events feel very strong in heroic mode because they're what you need to get rid of that Sasuke or get rid of that minion that's gonna run you over, and you just need that burst effect, and there's just not enough like Thwart events in Justice. There's only like for Justice.
And Custer Blow is technically one,
but not Justice. Yeah. Like that's pricey, and like you need to when you need to move threat from a side scheme, we just need more events to do that.
Yeah,
like when we saw an event spoiled from Spider Woman's pack, clear the area, 1-for-2 threat. Even if you don't get that card, that's going to be amazing heroic mode. 1-for-2, simple, cheap. It gets what it needs to do done. Now in multiplayer, probably not as good, but it's still something. Unless you're playing Miss Marvel, then it's 1-for-4, which is fantastic. And then you have, like, my Justice decks typically don't run for Justice anymore because in Expert, I still don't think you need them as much. You can play Concussive Blows, and you can play Surveillance Team. No, Under Surveillance. That's the card, the Thor card. And you'll be fine with threat, I've found. I mean, it also depends on the hero. Well, like, for example, Cap. I don't run for Justice. As soon as I started playing Heroic, 4 Justice was back in. It's fast. It's what I needed. It's what I needed. Pulling's is a little weird currently because the card pool is still small. I think when the box comes out, I think we'll have enough cards to consistently win in Heroic mode. But, like, Ultron, for example, I had a game against Heroic Ultron, Heroic 1, with Black Panther leadership. And the game was fantastic. Like, I was ahead at all times. I always felt like I had the upper hand because Retaliate in Ultron is perfect. You need the Retaliate. That's the easiest way to kill the drones. And then leadership, you have Squirrel Girl, you have Hawkeye, you have Maria Hill, all these cheap allies who can block. They all have extra utility. Squirrel Girl can kill minions. Hawkeye can kill minions. And then Hawkeye, third stage, can kill the minions one hit as long as there's no upgraded drones out. It's that game was perfect because I knew what I needed. I had it, and I easily was able to defeat it.
Now you mentioned. I got a question for you guys. So we mentioned Cap a lot. He's obviously one of the heroes we think is probably going to be really good in heroic mode. When you're looking to choose a hero to take into heroic mode and to try this, what are you looking for? Like, what is it that we see in Cap's deck and then that makes him so fast and then that makes him that hero we think can really stand up to it? Like when we're looking at other heroes to try in the future, maybe.
I'd say it's not his deck; it's his hero card. Because he turns any card in your hand into zero cost event, remove 2 threat, or do 2 damage. It's so flexible.
Okay.
Yeah.
You always know you're going to thwart for at least 4. And in solo, that most schemes are like 4 threat. At most.
And with when I choose a hero for heroic mode, because I do play a lot of heroic mode now. It's not just... I rarely play standard anymore. It's pretty much expert and heroic. I go for consistency. And consistency in all aspects of a game. Cap is consistent. Like Matt said, he has that readying ability. He has that with the retaliate. It's great. It's helpful with against the minions. His set is really good, especially Shield Toss gets exponentially better in Heroic because there's much more targets. Heroic Strike helps prevent the villain from getting more activations on you. His set is great. Then you have Iron Man. He's consistent. As soon as you get the suit built, he does everything every single turn. Now, on the other hand, you have someone like Carol Danvers, who I think is an amazing hero, minus one card in her kit. We all know the card. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you're talking about.
Keep going.
And she is amazingly consistent. No. Her helmet. The worst.
It's the best helmet in the game.
Gosh. I'm keeping us on track.
I think another big thing is shield block and cap as well.
Shield block is huge.
When you have... So back to Carol Danvers, where in solo, I think she's amazing. I think she's one of the best heroes. Because card draw, deck going through your... Like deck filtering, built-in healing, and a great amount of access to resources. But that's not enough in heroic mode. Now, while those cards are still great, she can't target multiple things. And I said this earlier, she's very good at targeting one thing and just dealing with it. Maybe a couple things and dealing with it. But when you have multiple minions out, she's not effective. When you have multiple side schemes out, she's not effective. Unless you want to run Tenacity. But if you're running Tenacity in heroic mode, you're doing it wrong.
Too slow. It's too slow.
Expert mode, I think it's a fine card with her. What? In heroic mode, that's a different story. Which is why I think Black Panther is a great hero. You can thin your deck out easily with allies. If you're playing leadership, you have allies. I honestly don't play Strength of Numbers in heroic mode because I think it's too slow of a card unless you have consistent ways to get Avengers Assemble. But he has like the Golden City early on. He can get through his deck, and then Wakanda Forever's really do everything.
Mm-hmm. They deal with threat, they deal with minions, they deal with same thing as Iron Man. Same reasons. Yeah.
Those are consistent. That's consistency. When you have a hero like Spider-Man, who's great, I think he's a great hero. He can defend really well, he's a really good support hero, and then his cards are great. But they're slow, and he is too slow for heroic mode. Even though he's drawing an extra card every turn if he's attacked, probably multiple in heroic mode, let's be honest, it's not enough. He, as a hero, is too slow.
I feel like Spider-Man could be good in like a multiplayer heroic as a defender.
Yeah,
he'd rather have cheap allies.
It's
quicker, Black. And they're more efficient than he is.
He's got Black Cat.
Yeah, but the point of cheap allies in heroic mode is you get their ability, you use them, then they block for you, and that's less, and it's basically pseudo healing for you.
I'm thinking more in theory.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like.
If when you get to multiplayer and you get to larger player counts, I think you can be a little more lenient with your heroes. But I think really only one of your hero choices can be really lenient. Because if I'm playing and like for example, our game, when I was using Black Widow against Risky Business, that was a terrible idea, let alone protection.
Apo brings up an interesting point in the chat. He says, I agree Spidey is slow, but how does cancel ability help in heroic up at all? The things like cancel abilities like enhanced spider sense and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. It doesn't. It's a card you're holding up in your hand. Either you're holding it up or you draw into it, and then you're playing less cards the next turn for that card specifically. And usually, since you're drawing two cards, let's say the first card is he makes an attack against you. Oh, I'll cancel that. I don't want to get attacked because I have a couple hit points. And the next card, he deals it, he attacks you again. The problem is when you only see one card each turn, that card is amazing. That'll help you a lot. When you see multiple cards each turn, that honestly, I don't think is that impactful. I think it's too slow.
It's also only for treacheries, and like the big things are like schemes and that. Like treachery, you just gotta weather the effects, and unless it's something like Shadows of the Past, and if you get like, it's nice when you have that because it saves you a bunch of actions to just spend two cards. But
right, or
if it could cancel schemes and minions, Yeah, I'm all aboard that, but
I don't know. I'm still kind of in Ben's camp here. I think that Spider-Man, when we get more protection cards, like maybe when Doctor Strange comes out and we get some of these cards that are going to be like, you know, that are going to help us out more, I think he could work when he gets more consistent ways to ready and he can defend more and be defensive for more. Because, I mean, one of the things we have said is that the villain usually attacks a lot. So having a hero that is a dedicated defender and makes sure that nobody gets hurt could be a really good asset in heroic mode.
The issue there, though, is at that point, right? You get the pack. Let's say we have the Doctor Strange stuff, and you put in enough copies so that they're consistent in your deck of the new cards, like unflappable, and then you want some of the other cards. The problem is, then you're so reactionary, you're not helping the board. Which is the problem I had with Black Widow with protection. She wasn't doing anything for the board.
I disagree a little.
Spidey is just in heroic. I don't think you want a reactionary kind of hero who's, and like protection, I think is fine. But the issue in heroic mode is it's so enough actively. The difference between passive and active. And yes, while you're stopping some damage from a hero taking damage, you could also just play leadership and have cheap allies that do that for you and give you more beneficial options than just Spider-Man. I think when we get more cards, it'll probably be better. It'll be fine. But as it stands right now, I think he is not worth putting in heroic mode at all.
I also want to point out, I think more of the issue of Black Widow that you were having was the fact that she was just really bad for that scenario in general, because Black Widow is generally only good when the villain is actually doing something, and we were playing Risky Business and Norman doesn't do anything.
Don't tell me about it.
was a really bad game.
How many cards on the board?
Your entire deck was on the board. And just nothing was happening. Like, it was ridiculous.
It was awful. It was terrible. And granted, I don't care for Black Widow that much after having played her a couple times. I think she's a good hero. She's just not my playstyle. But that was too much. It was too much. She couldn't do anything. And then if she did something, she'd get attacked by a bunch of minions and then have to flip and heal. And then she couldn't do anything because all her stuff is heroes.
Yeah, that was just a bad game for poor Black Widow. That was a rough game. Risky Business again showed its colors of like, well, maybe we just shouldn't play Risky Business.
It wasn't even fun. I don't think it was even that, like, it was difficult, but it was more frustrating than anything. It wasn't even fun anymore.
Yeah,
it got to the point where, like, it really, like, I think almost for all of us, it got to the point where we were just not enjoying ourselves with that scenario. Granted, we were doing a lot. We were making a lot of mistakes as a group. But it got to the point where we just weren't enjoying it.
And we weren't, would you say, communicating, which is our next point?
We weren't communicating.
Communication, turns out, is key in heroic mode. You've got to talk to your teammates. You have to plan out every turn so that you know exactly what you're going to do so that you can all play optimally, because any suboptimal plays will just end you in heroic mode, because you've just got to stay ahead. You've just got to stay that much farther ahead of the encounter deck. So talk to your team.
If you want a good example of that, Team Covenant, their videos, they always, before they do anything on their turns, they always talk to each other and be like, what can you do? What can you do? That's perfect. That's something you should be doing in heroic mode. Even in general, you should go down the line and be like, how much damage can you do? How can you spread it out? Can you kill any amount of minions? Then it'd be like, how is your turn? Is it like, can you use all your cards effectively? Do you need a card? Who needs card? Like, ask these questions around the board before doing anything, because if you don't, mistakes will be made. And a lot of those are just, you can't come back from. The tempo is crucial in that.
Matt, you have anything to add to this?
I guess always listen to Matt, because Matt knows best.
Matt let me play Black Widow.
I wanted to play Black Widow. You're the one who wanted. You're the one who spoke up and called dibs.
I did, and you should have been like, no, but you didn't. You said okay.
I said, are you sure? And you said, yeah. I'm funny. Or
you met, sure. You let him go through that. You let your friend go through that, Matt.
You let me get traumatized by.
Oh my gosh.
Knocks against the design of Black Widow. She's not my hero.
She's only good when the hero does, when the villain does stuff, and when the villain doesn't do anything, she's no good. Matt is so irresponsible.
Are you talking about Matt Newman or Matt?
Clearly, it's all Matt Newman's fault.
Man, Ben, do you have anything else to add to this little communication thing?
I don't know. You just have to work harder at optimizing stuff. Like, when normally when we play, even expert, even like more difficult scenarios, everyone just takes their turn. Every once in a while, you're like, "Oh, you can leave that one threat. I can handle it efficiently," or something like that. But, or, you know, don't kill that minion. I want to kill it. But in heroic mode, it sounds like you have to really, you know, plan everything out, which is probably pretty challenging in a 4-player game when everyone has like 6 or plus cards in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing solo. A trick I like to do is I look at my hand. And I'll act like I'm playing like the turn. I'll be like, what? Like, if I have a couple cards in my hand, I'm like, okay, I spend these on this and put that down. I'll say, I'll spend these on this, put this down, or maybe I'll spend this, draw a card, and then pretend to count it for something else. That way I know exactly what I'm going to do and try and figure out the most efficient way to do it. It takes more time, but the chances of you winning are greater. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which was one of the reasons I didn't like Ms. Marvel at first. Was like, sometimes her turn spent so long figuring out that I didn't think it was worth the effort. Now playing heroic, I basically do that every turn with any. So like, oh, maybe God. I'll enjoy her now. But like, just Bruno alone with Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, can I put a card under Bruno? Maybe, maybe not. And then
half the time I just ignore Bruno. Just. Even like I'm just like I don't want to play on my entire turn. I'm just gonna do
if
things.
If I'm Marvel, and I see my obligation, I'm like, oh, bye, Bruno. I won't take the exhaust because who cares? It's Bruno. I don't need him unless I'm trying to be extra efficient. But when I'm being extra efficient, usually I'm not having as much fun unless it's heroic mode where you have to be.
Mm-hmm. You have to be as efficient as possible.
Also, it's tricky.
I'm not trying to be calculus and standard.
A lot of times you have hands where it's like, I could do 3 different things on my turn. So if people are like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, I don't know. I could kill this minion, or I could deal with that scheme, or I could do something else, play this upgrade or support card. It's like, well, okay.
Play the helmet.
That's true. Yeah, that's well, cool, you gotta play the helmet. You have to. It's mandatory.
Helmet.
What? Ben? You gotta play a Captain Marvel's helmet and Iron Man's helmet, and the others can just be like, whatever.
So many helmets.
And Captain America's helmet.
Captain America's helmet. We're gonna get all Thor's helmet. Thor's helmet. Let's not forget that one. That's
we need
the best
to do a battle of the helmets. I've been thinking a lot about this, ranking the helmets. We need to do this.
We'll make that a segment once. We'll make that a segment sometimes.
Helmet off.
Helmet off. So another point we have is you have to really know the scenario. See, you have to go into a scenario and you have to know the cards. You have to know the baddest cards. You have to make a plan for how you're going to deal with every card that you see. Because the deck is going to combo on you. Sam mentioned it earlier. The deck, because it's spinning out so many more cards, it has a lot more potential to just combo off and get its stuff going. So you have to know what those combos are, and you have to know how you're going to deal with them when they come up, because they will come up, and they're going to hit you in the face.
I would add to that to consistency, because like Ms. Marvel's nice, but you don't want her to be your primary thwarter, because if you don't draw her thwarting ability is based purely on drawing an event.
Mm.
If you don't draw that, then she can't thwart the scheme.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we were joking about plugging our own podcast for figuring out what the worst cards in a scenario were. But like, in all honesty, when I was playing, when I tried it with Rhino, I was like, oh, let me see. When I first read the article, I was like, okay. I was like, I like where they're going. Let me try this with Rhino, see what happens. And when I first sat down, I was like, okay, what do I need to look out for? God, I don't remember the names of cards in his deck. I haven't played them in a while.
Charge,
Stampede, Breaking the Taken. Stuff I need to watch out for. I was like, okay, how do I deal with that? All right. I was playing Cap, I think, at the time. I was like, okay. Shield block for charge. And if I don't have that, I defend and I'll take a card from my hand to just ready next turn if I have to. When I was like, okay, the Breaking the Taken, I can get that pretty easily. I can thwart easily on Cap. That's fine. And I mapped out. I was like, how do I deal with the worst cards? Minutes, and you really want to do that in deck building more than sitting down and playing, which was what I was doing. I just picked up my deck and was like, play. But when you deck build, that's where you want to do that.
Yeah, you got to tune your decks to the villain a lot more than you do in any other mode. You really have to have an answer in the deck building phase. Like, before you even sit down and play the game, you've got to know, okay, I'm putting this card in because of this card. I'm putting this card in because this thing. So every card needs a reason to be in there.
I wouldn't put in, I don't know what the term is, cheeky one-offs. I wouldn't put in a bunch of those to deal with cards because the chances of you seeing it are low. But if you know there's a ton of side schemes, which in heroic mode, you're going to see a lot of them. In multiplayer game, I would consider followed.
Easily I would consider three followed. The amount of side schemes that we were seeing in our four-player game, it was insane. If we had two Justice players, each of us playing three times followed, like, we would have been throwing out damage left and right because there were so many schemes and there were side schemes that were out there that we were just punching through constantly, defeating side schemes. And we would have been doing so much more damage just by thwarting. It would have been,
And at that point, we thwart and we're doing damage. We're compressing our, I know this is a term in Arkham, action compression, but even though there's no max actions you can take in your turn in this game, it's still, you're compressing your actions by, okay, I play followed, and now that's, as soon as that scheme's gone, I can get rid of this minion, or I can deal damage to MODOK without taking retaliate or something. Like, you can really help press your advantage by helping stabilize the board a little bit. You can also help somewhere else, so cards like that are great. Though I said Spider-Man wasn't the best hero for heroic mode in a multiplayer game, I think he be as the one hero that I'd say is the lenient hero. If he was Spider Tracer, that's another example of that. You put it on minion, you kill it, and remove three threat at the same time. You just compressed your basic actions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So look out for those cards. Threat prevention is also big. Counterintelligence, the new one coming out with Black Widow, is great for that. Surveillance emergency is actually good. Yeah, if you're playing solo, or even if you're not playing solo, under surveillance is great because it's basically a four justice added to the threat of the main scheme, and there's going to be a lot of threat added to that scheme. Stealth strike, oh yep, Apo brings up another good one. Stealth strike, remind me, what does that one do, Matt? I think you had that one, you were playing that one. Is Miss Marvel?
It does four damage, and if it kills that minion, you remove two threat from a scheme for three cost.
Okay, yeah, it's those multi-effect cards, those ones that deal damage and remove threat, and those multi-effects, you can get so much more value out of them in heroic mode because there's so many target potentials. So yeah, that's a great card.
And then you have the card in the box that's coming out, like clear the area, remove two threat, if it's out of this game, draw a card. Now, while that isn't as consistent as you could want it to be, because what if it doesn't remove the threat? It's still, you're getting multiple things with one card. If you have melee, even though it's is it 3 damage to one thing, 3 damage to another, that's a good card for this because you're doing multiple things at one instant. Oh my god, I just went back to magic with instant.
One event.
Event.
Ugh, get that out of here.
It's not even, it wouldn't even be a sorcery.
Get that, now get that magic talk out of here.
How dare you?
One instance of effect, one event.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, in Heroic, you're going to see a lot more minions and side schemes and everything. So cards that deal with minions or side schemes or any particular type of card, they're a lot, you're going to be able to trigger them more often.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to keep in mind, some of these multiple action cards are too slow. And the main one I'm thinking about right now is Daredevil. Daredevil is a 4 cost ally, so he's already taking up, if you don't have any resource cards in your hand or for Power of Justice in your hand, that's your hand for this ally. Now he does 2 things at once, but if their things aren't quick enough that it matters. It's too slow to matter. And I think that's where stuff like the events come in, where an event is just a one shot, do this, that's good. When you're spending your entire turn on one card, that slow, unless the card is going to exponentially help you. Like Nick Fury maybe, but he draws cards right back. Lockjaw, honestly. I think Lockjaw is a very good card in Heroic because he's a very, the consistency is and he is consistent, even if he's not the best ally in the game. He's very consistent.
Mm-hmm. Aldo in chat asked a pretty good question. How would you rate the difficulty of Heroic mode to just standard Lord of the Rings? I think that's a hard question because the card pool in Marvel is so limited right now compared to Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings has been going on for like 9 years at this point or something like that. So I think it's kind of hard. I think eventually once the card pool really grows in Marvel and we have a lot more options, it'll be pretty consistent to like just standard Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings is definitely a more difficult game. But I think Heroic mode might become a little more comparable to Lord of the Rings at that point.
I think when you have Heroic mode now, like at the moment, I think Heroic mode in this game, not most villains, some of the villains just aren't worth playing even with Heroic mode. To me, just because I like the difficulty. It's not a knock against the heroes, not a knock against their design. I like the difficulty of Heroic Ultron or Heroic Mutagen, even though I haven't got much chance to play that yet. I've only done it once. I think that's harder than Lord of the Rings. I think Lord of the Rings was hard initially and now is just too easy for my taste, which is why I play Nightmare. And I mean, that's a simple answer, is I play Nightmare because I think Lord of the Rings is too easy. No, that's not true for all quests. That's not true for
me. We're going to take that as a blanket statement.
As we went over my hardest game, that's not, but majority of the quests now, I think, are easier. I don't know how to put this other than like, I think they're easy now. Easy now.
Is it just power creep, you think?
Maybe. I mean, okay, so majority of the decks I build in Lord of the Rings, tangent for all the people who don't play the game, are ally heavy decks. I usually focus on swarms and stuff like that. Gondor, dwarves, outlands, anything, even Elrond with Vilya, Elrond Gandalf with Vilya, the Fellowship, anything like that. I typically play decks like that, and Noldor too, Sylvan even. They crush almost every scenario that I come across because you have so many bodies to deal with anything that comes your way that majority of the quest kind of feels trivialized until you get that board wipe card, but then Test of Will. Or if you're playing a side quest, Bounding
Hobbit
or whatever. Yeah. Like, to me, the card pool is there for those kinds of decks that the quest and majority of the game are a little too easy. Dale, for example, I thought the Dale was too, I think Dale's too powerful. Now, granted, Dwarves is too powerful, Outlands is too powerful, yes. But I think if Dale is a little too high on the power curve, and that kind of gets into this game. I play leadership a lot. I play the ally decks, and a lot of times, and that's why expert mode is kind of easy for me. Mode, I can still play those decks, and I still feel challenged.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically where I'm coming from. Is I think because of the decks I build, the type of player I am, I think it's just a little too easy in Lord of the Rings. Now, with the progression I just started, it's not that way because I don't have that card.
All right, and so Lord of the Rings tangent. Bring us back. Bring it back around.
If with the card pool we have right now, I think the heroic mode is plenty difficult. I think it's a great challenge for those looking for it.
I agree. Well, any other thoughts on heroic mode before we wrap this thing up?
I hear Thanos is finally resting.
For those of you that listened to our last episode, this little plug there, go listen to that one. We got a really good special guest interview on that one.
Yeah. I'm going to have to play it some more, maybe. Although, I'd really like to get some multiplayer heroic games in.
I want to get another four-player game in with all of us like really building our decks together and really coordinating decks and making sure we've got it. I think we're probably... Mm-hmm. I think in four-player we decided we probably need two Justice players just because the sheer amount of side schemes and threat that you see is just crazy. So I think that probably you need two Justice players. At least at this point in the game's life cycle.
I'd agree to that.
But I think solo, I'm mostly going to stick to expert mode because honestly, it's hard enough as it is, especially when I like to build more experimental decks oftentimes.
Oh, yeah. Heroic mode is not the place you go to when you're doing experimental decks.
I've noticed that I've tended to gravitate towards wackier, wackier is not the right word, but more suboptimal solo decks.
Oh, it's no wonder you don't play because... Hulk.
hey, I have my Hulk cap deck. That was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. You said suboptimal.
I mean, okay, it was amazing when Hulk did like 24 damage or whatever the heck he did. But amazing. It also, yeah, every awesome. Other card in my deck sucked. I was playing all physical icons, and my deck did nothing if I didn't have Hulk or Yarmogorn out. But once I had both of them out, it was amazing. Yes. 3 tenacity, 3 invulnerability are mandatory.
Wait, I'm ready to play protection She-Hulk versus the Claw Heroic Challenge.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna film this and put it on no matter how many times I lose or how mad I get.
I don't think that maybe that would ever end.
He's so funny to watch though. Just at the end you hear me screaming and punching my
There goes another one of Sam's walls.
Yeah. He's basically try Captain Marvel protection against heroic claw player, and we'll see how that goes.
We'll see if we can get a 4-player game recorded. Even if we don't win, we'll see if we can get one recorded and of us really coordinating and see if we can get it posted. Because I think that would be really good content.
I think we'll be able to win. If we coordinate
easily,
I don't know about easily.
It's easy. Don't worry.
The real challenge is rookie mode.
Rookie mode.
Oh
okay.
God! I haven't even attempted that yet. Holy shit! I mean, oops.
Language. yeah. Well, I guess let's say a quick thing about rookie mode. Ben, you brought it up. What's rookie mode?
Rookie mode is the same as normal mode, except you only fight stage one of the villain. It's an easier mode to introduce people into the game.
Yes, I think its main purpose should be for just demoing the game. I think it is great for demoing the game. Other than that, I would never touch it because
it's too hard.
Yeah, it's too hard. That's exactly right.
So the only way I could beat heroic mode is when I filled my deck with Honorary Avengers, but I was playing Miss Marvel.
Oh my gosh! I'm so mad at you.
Pro tip.
That's so mad. Yeah,
that's a tip for you, for all you fans. Play Hulk, but put all play a Hulk Miss Marvel deck, but put every single copy of the rest of the deck is just on Raven. Not even her signature cards. They're all just on her.
That might actually be better, because then Hulk would never
never whiff. Anything
but physical. Never whiff, yeah.
Just have to draw him in the opening.
That's right.
You are a mulligan for Hulk.
All right, well, I'm going to wrap us up here. Before we go, everybody, be sure to check out our social media. We have Facebook, Discord, and Patreon, where we post updates and connect with you, the listeners. We also have a YouTube channel with gameplay videos. Make sure to subscribe and like to keep up to the date on the latest from Dexcelsior. Links to all of these, of course, are going to be in the description. Thanks for listening, and Excelsior! Onwards and upwards.